discussions underway. As I said, they have a real estate agent. They've done conversations with Mr. Roth, Arnold Roth, and looking at setting up a meeting with to move them out of that building. That will save them several hundred thousand dollars a year. That is a difference that makes a difference.
Okay, and two?
Second is the fulfillment rate. Part of BAI's issue is that their fulfillment rate is 10 points lower than other stations, 75, 78 versus 85 in other stations. That represents $100,000. And our person, Phil, is there all week next week working on that issue. So it's not just the numbers they raise. It is how high that fulfillment rate is. And $100,000 will make a difference for WBAI.
So are their premium costs in line?
Premium costs better. That's part of what Phil will be working on. And it needs work.
Okay.
Now,
three.
In the end, BAI will have to look at reduction of staff. That would be my view at this point. Now, even if they move, as we have talked about before, as all of us know, moving is expensive. It costs money to move a radio station. So, but I do think that at least the planning process, they have located some space that's a lot cheaper, so at least we're moving in the area where ultimately.
Okay, well, what you just said, did they hire a premium, do they have a director of development?
No, they don't. And I want
they
to-
don't.
But they
okay, did Phil come in and help them with this drive?
Yeah, Phil's coming. He's there all of next week and next Tuesday.
No, I mean prior to it.
Yes, he's been working with them on this drive on the fulfillment area especially.
Okay, thank you.
So he's been doing it. Now, one other new development is that there is a fellow coming in next week specifically to work on development. That is, you know, they haven't had a development person. This person is coming in to work on the development aspects for WBAI, which we at the national office felt was necessary to look at. And, this fellow's coming in to sit down and talk to management there about how to get their development program moving adequately, especially since they had a person. So he may be that part-time person or that person that can get that program moving.
A point of information, do you know this person's name?
His name is Robert Adams.
Okay.
And he has been a programmer, but he's worked at WBI in the past. He's familiar with the station. But as I say, this is a preliminary talk with him about what might get done around moving the development needs of WBAI. So the three areas that I think will make the most impact on that station, starting to move them out of there, saving a couple hundred thousand a year, moving the development program, increasing the fulfillment rate. All of that represents potentially $300,000, and that is their shortfall, $200,000 or $300,000. Now, that does not rule out that they may, even beyond that, have to look at reductions in costs in other areas, hopefully non-staff. So that would be a quick summary of W.
Okay.
Can I interject a question?
Please, go ahead.
This is Brody, New York. When you say that's our shortfall, you're basing that on, I guess, a long-term flat revenue that will have a potential problem for us. But as it's projected out now, we're not anticipating for the current fiscal year that we're going to lose $300,000 or that we need that $300,000, are you?
What I'm saying is that if you were to envision the model for WBAI that's similar to other stations where they are on the air, they're doing the drive only, you know, 12, 14, 15 days rather than the 27.
Okay.
Now you've got 12 days. If they could reduce their current drive length by 12 days, how much money does that represent? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
About $35,000, $40,000 a day. So,
okay.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Right. And I see. I understand. I just want to be clear because, you know, it'll be out that we're going to lose $300,000 for the year. And
comments like that do have a tendency to reverberate, don't they?
Yeah, they do. No, that's not what I mean. Thank you very much.
Closing company excluded, right?
We never talk out of school.
But if you were to deal with that 27-day issue and get back down to 14 or 15, how many dollars would that represent have to be made up somewhere else? And how much would it be? It's about $300,000.
Okay, I'm next on the stack. Is there anyone who would like to speak after me?
Patty, again, if I could.
Okay. I think, you know, and I've been saying this for a while, in terms we heard from Mark about some of his priorities for this year. One of the things that happened with the shift to in the model of the way we did programming and the way we staffed stations that was done by the prior administration when many volunteers were dismissed from many of the stations and we started having paid producers to produce programming and we started making some changes in the way the stations were staffed was that, you know, one of the objections was that the Red Queen issue, which is you have to run faster and faster to stay in one place. Lonnie talked about how we're having rising costs, etc. So two things, there are a couple things I think. We need to, one, look at how we do staffing. In particular, with the shift in the way broadcasting or audio content provision is going to go from a bandwidth-limited regime to a bandwidth-unlimited regime where most people, within a couple of years, are going to be downloading audio content from wireless networks into handheld devices. And then the question is going to be, how are you going to afford to produce programming that's going to serve a diversity of audiences. So I really think we need to look at how we staff and fund development of programming. And I also think that we need to look at setting aside a pot of money in the next budget that's available for people to do grants. So request for proposals to do particular initiatives, whether it's technical development or whether it's program development, you know, starting developing a program. We haven't produced a national program in a great period of time. We are not launching too many new programming initiatives, and there's a couple ways to do that. You can have managers or people who have paid positions who do that, or you can solicit proposals from people who have creative ideas and energy and fund those, and then after you see performance, you can arrange for longer-term funding. The way we do it now, when we have a task or a new idea, we create a position with a whole lot of overhead in addition, and we're stuck with whatever that person's strengths and limitations are, and that tends to drive what we end up doing, and there's a lot of fighting over who holds those positions. So I'm hoping that we, as a finance committee, can really look at patterns of staffing and consider alternatives. In particular, can smaller investments in our volunteers who provide a great bulk of work to the foundation create a lot more productivity, and could we have some staff time spent to support those people to improve the quality and the amount of their programming so we have greater vibrancy? I believe that the reason KPFK is performing so well, and as of today, after 9.5 days, we're at $850,000. As of now, we're over $850,000. We're averaging over $80,000 a day, is because the station is very open to new blood, new ideas, new people. So that's probably more than 2 minutes. I'll stop there. But I do think we have to be looking at our model for funding what we do, because the current model is going to keep sucking and demanding more and more money just to stay in one place. Patty.
This is Lauren. I believe I was on the stack.
Oh, were you? Oh, geez.
I hope so.
Let's see. I've written stacks so many times. Okay, LaVarn, I'm sorry.
No, LaVarn, Patty can go, and then I'll go after.
No, LaVarn, let LaVarn go first.
Okay. All right. I just want to say that that's good that Lonnie has some goals, and I found a little coincidence between Mark's and Lonnie's, but that's good. And the other thing is that, Mark, if I can just ask Lonnie, we had asked him to look at that $48,000 salary variance at the national office for the first quarter, and he was going to give us some feedback on that. The other thing is on the fulfillment thing with BAI. I know last September, October, I believe Phil was there, and he did some work with them, so hopefully this time, you know, we can look at, you know, what's the cost of him going there, doing that, and see if there's any real benefits from that, if, you know, if the fulfillment rate is still at 75% to 78%. The race and nationality, I think a number of those were, like, either changed in terms of the original motions or sent to committee, so I think we just need to do the analysis on that to see what the costs are, because I'm not sure if we need to put those in the plan yet, because I don't think they were really approved as they were originally written. On the real estate agent, I was going to get with an attorney I know who does real estate, and she's like, you know, as she's African-American, so, you know, like with pro bono work, it's like that's the type of work that they like, you know, that are pushed off on American lawyers. So she has her hands full in pro bono, so she really can't start looking at Pacifica stuff. So I don't have that name to give you, Lonnie. And let's see. The other thing is that in terms of the number of days at BAI, again, you know, we're stressed and want to stress again. It's not only listener fatigue, but it's also staff fatigue. So, you know, that's really I'm really concerned about that, continue to be concerned about it. So that's it. So I just need a couple of answers from Lonnie on the thing with the $48,000 variance in salaries, gross salaries at the national office. And if you could just tell me how many people work there at the national office, that would be a start.
Let's see. Well, the variance, if you look, I think I included it in my note, that the variance wasn't the $48,000. It was actually closer to $15,000. And the reason that it was it had to be in that, of all places, there was a link, just a link issue that I didn't catch, and I should have caught it, so busy working on these other budgets. But it is corrected in the one you have.
I'm sorry, what was the issue? I didn't hear you, Lonnie. The
variance was high by $48,000. It sort of looked like it.
Right, but what did you say it was attributable to?
The budget was low. The budget was half of what it should have been for that month. And once you put the budget up, it came close to where the spending was, the variance goes away.
So you're saying the correct budget number was incorrect for the whole quarter or for the 1 month?
I think it was just for that 1 month, and now it's corrected, and it was like artificially low. And I looked at, why did the link go over? I checked every link in the whole spreadsheet because I said, well, what happened there? But see, these spreadsheets are getting so large, you know, huge number of links. And you have to check every link to make sure that it's linking to the budgets, which are the subsidiary. Remember, the actual station budgets are linked to this consolidated budget. And now that that number's in there, but it didn't affect the bottom line because even while on that line the budget was low, the link to the total for gross salaries was correct. And as you can look at the spreadsheet that I handed out, you can see that there was not a change to the bottom line. The whole spreadsheet, in terms of consolidated, moved, I think, from 41,000 to 51,000 positive variance. So, you know, at that point, I think, no, we haven't hired new people at the national office, but let me tell you who they are, just so folks will know. You've got your executive director. You have myself. We have an executive assistant, Lonnie Duarte. We have our finance group, which is our financial analyst, Alvin Yip. Then our controller, which would be Ben Garcia. Then our accounts payable person, Lynn Magno. The website and affiliate coordinators, everybody knows, runs the website.
Pete Caracas.
Yeah, Pete Caracas, Pacifica.org, and Ursula Rutenberg, who is our affiliates coordinator. We have vacancies that we have not filled at the national office because we don't have the funds. But we're hoping that with some mail drops that we're planning, we can finally get a reserve at the national office, which we desperately need. And have the national office be on a solid financial footing. The vacancies we're looking at now are in the human resource director. We don't have one. The national programming director, we don't have one at present. And we wanted a national technical director, and those positions are vacant. We don't have the space, you know, even if we were to get them, we go, well, where we seat them.
Okay, Lenny, I just have a question.
I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to clear this 48, because Lenny said the wrong number had come over. I'm just looking at the sheet here. You know, I pulled it up on this Acrobat. Right. So So, you know, I see that the number for I guess it was the 3 months. It was October, November, December. So for the month, the budget was 48, and the budget for the quarter was 145. So that's like three times one. That's about 150. So.
Did you say what page you're on?
Yes, on page 25 of 32.
And where are you?
Okay, of the
December
ending. December's?
December, yeah, the first quarter.
Okay,
line,
35.
What line are you on?
Page 25 of 32.
What line? Gross salaries?
Gross salaries, right.
And so and you, what column?
It's for the first, it shows the first, it's like, the sheet I have is like, it shows the first quarter. It
the first number I have there is 69, then 53.
Then 48 8, is the budget, and then when you go across, you have 193, and for the actual for the quarter, and 145 for the budget.
Oh, you mean year-to-date actual?
Right.
Okay, year-to-date budget. Got
it. So therefore, like you said, if the spending for the salaries was $69,000 for December, and then the budget was 48, and the budget for the first 3 months was 145, so that's like about three times, 48.
The budget shows 53, LaVarne.
Quarter. So I don't know how that would, and the variance is still, and the total. Gross salaries was 193 and the budget was 145, so the variance is still 48,000 for the gross salaries. So you're saying that it was budgeted incorrectly?
And the link didn't carry it up correctly. But what I got is for the month it was 69 actual, 53 on the budget for a variance of 15,000.
Okay, so the one I have here has
yeah, that's right. That's what it has, 15,000 for the month. But she's looking at year to date of 31.
Well, I don't have the one that has 15 where he has the budget at 53 versus 48.
Yeah, the year-to-date is 31, because the main reason for that is that we were carrying Jim Bennett over here as our technical director for a while from KPFK because he was no longer GM there.
KPFA.
Okay, so Jim Bennett doesn't make $31,000 in a quarter, Lonnie. Otherwise, I need Jim's job.
Well, let me finish the thought, and then you can comment on it.
Okay.
That's part of it. And the other part of it is that when I looked at it, you've got in December a variance there because of the holiday bonus one-time payout monies that was given to the management staff, and that came to 15,000 or so. So that's why you see it in December.
Can I ask you, Lonnie?
Yeah, I was just going to ask Mark. I don't remember any discussion of bonus.
No. Remember, we kind of kept everything even, but I guess, Lonnie, my question would be this. And now I understand that a budget is just a planning document, right? I mean, you look at it, you have a plan, you have a goal, et cetera, and you try to anticipate the unexpected as well as preferably the expected because of your experience from doing it in prior years. So the only thing, and I know you want to make an adjustment or you're proposing that you want to adjust the budget six months, but part of a budget function is also the ability to see how well we are understanding the business that we're in. So if we put a budget together, and you remember all the work we did on that, and we put a budget together and we pass it, for beginning October 1, and now we're discovering that, well, we've added things here that we didn't anticipate. My question is, why didn't we anticipate it? This is not our first year of operation. So how can we do a better job, in your opinion, so that we don't have to put a budget together and approve it and then go back to the board and say, well, you know, don't worry about this because in 6 months it's going to change. You're going to find we need this person and we need that person. When we went through all this before, what's lacking here in this procedure?
Excuse me, Mark. Can Lonnie just finish his explanation on the 48 before or 31 or whatever the number is before he answers your question?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Sure.
And then, Patty, I do have you down, and then I would like to speak.
Okay.
Well, the overall salary line, which is where the concern seems to be, by the end of the year, an overage of about $16,000. And that 15,000 just carry through to the end of the fiscal. Now, what will happen But the six-month adjustment is I'll see that we're over there by the 16 and reduce expenses in other areas. And that's what I'll bring forth. Now, that is Mark's question is, well, couldn't you foresee that? And why would there be any variance at all, sort of? And my response to that is, for every station, that is the case, that there will be variances. Now, that variance on $1 million salary, close to $1 million, is only $16,000. That's pretty good. In most finance, a variance of 1% or 2% is pretty good. Happens all the time. There's $1 million salary budget item we're talking about. Now, how can it be avoided? Well, why does it happen? It happens in agencies our size, because you're talking $16 million. And they may hire an extra person for a drive, or the board passes an election item that drives us over budget by $50,000. Or we have a race and nationality initiative whose implications may end up costing us money long before we figured out where to get that money back from.
So, Lonnie, none of that is salaries.
Hiring extra temps for drive does impact salaries. And that happens at
K. But that's not the national office budget.
Oh, the national office budget. In this case, we may have to hire an extra person to come in to help with, with mail drops that we were planning. That is, if we end up seeing a shortfall at the national level, we have a choice. We can go to the station and have the stations pay for the shortfall, or we can try to raise funds on our own. Many times that means getting a person in to type in mailing lists or going to a mailing house to get the extra mailing list we might need to raise funds. We did that last year. It paid off.
Excuse me. Can I just interrupt, Lonnie? I still don't hear an explanation on you're saying the $31,000 is the same as Jim. Can you just tell us what it is? And if you can't tell us right now, can you, like, send us a little email to tell us why there's a $31,000 variance on how many people you have in the national office? 8 in 3 months. Why the variance is $31,000 and what amount of that is Jim? I mean, it's just a concern. And let me just tell you, I understand the process of plan updates. If you've actually planned incorrectly, but you know, I understand the process, and I think we can all do a little at the next board meeting. We can talk about that. But you know, just want to know, you know, what is the reason, and that's it.
Yeah, I'll give the detail. Not a problem.
Is that, when will you give it to me?
Well, I'm going to give it to the finance committee. I don't.
Oh, when I say me, I mean, you know, it's like the queen. When I say me, I mean all of us.
Wait, LaVon, we did that vote you queen.
Well, God, it's all take then. But anyway, so when will you provide that line? Just a question.
I'll get it out in a couple of days.
Okay, so by the end of next week, we'll have it.
At 4:30 a.m.
No, I'm saying next week. I mean, yeah, so that's fine. You know, I just want to know. I mean, it's just a concern that you're off by $31,000 in a national office on 8 people. And then you mentioned a holiday bonus. Now, this was my first year on the PNB, so I'm not familiar with the holiday bonus either. So, I mean, someone else can speak to that. But,
okay, so if you finish that question, can you get to Mark's question?
Yeah, it went right through. It goes through the chair of the board, and as long as I've been here, it's been that. That's happened that way. So,
well, I want to withdraw, Mike. I think the questions that I had, for the most part, I'm getting a sense of that I still think we need to do a better job of that. You mentioned, for example, Lonnie, the mailings, and we went through that detail. For those, you know, those of you who are on the committee know that.
Aging costs.
Yeah, and we went through all the anticipated expenditures at the national level that would require the production of that revenue, and so I'm a little, you know, if we need additional people or attempts or whatever, I would expect that would be part of the preliminary budget. I just don't want to go before the PNB as a member of the National Finance Committee and say this is a budget that I can sign off on and know that some anticipated costs, easily anticipated. Now, those that happen, you know, I ran a business for 20 years, so I know about rainy days. But if we know, you know, that it's going to be, one that's predicted, then we should be a little better on that, I think. And we can work on that. It's an improvement for all of us. I'm not criticizing anyone, you know. I'm just saying that we need to be a little clearer so that our budget for 06 is as pure as we can make it. You know what I mean?
We'll make it as pure. I understand the concern, and we'll work together on it. See if we can make sure that people are feeling comfortable.
And the other thing that I would say with respect to the salary increases, and I remember we talked about this before because I know you guys hadn't had one in a while.
Yeah.
And I empathize with that, and I know you've been working hard, all of you have, and through a difficult transition from, you know, whatever to democracy, I understand all of that, but I think that if we're going to make a decision to do a unilateral holiday increase, it would seem to me that it would have to fly through somebody before that would be approved. Are you saying that internally a decision was made to generate holiday bonuses without running through the National Finance Committee or the PMB to say this is going to take us off budget, but we think it's necessary, or was that an internal decision? I'm not clear there.
It was passed by the chair of the board.
Okay. It was what?
It was approved by the chair of the board.
Okay, thank you.
Hang on. I don't understand. The chair of the board does not have authority over the budget. That's a matter for the board.
Right, but I'm just trying to figure out. There was a procedure where you went to the chair of the board and said, we'd like to award holiday bonuses, and the chair of the board, without meeting with the board, but the chair of the board said, okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that the executive director made the request of the chair of the board, Leslie Kagan, before Marty Durlin, and they approved it.
Wait, but how could Leslie Kagan approve 2005?
I'm saying in the previous year. I'm saying since I've been here, I've seen it.
Okay.
That was the INPB. This is, I mean, that was a former INPB. This is the current PNB. So it wasn't passed by the current PNB. It was passed by the INPB board chair.
Marty Durlin and Leslie Kagan before her, as chair of the board, signed off on them on a request from the executive director. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And that's been, as far as I know, how it's been handled. So...
Are you saying it's a standard bonus?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's been when there is funds, those funds are requested.
Right.
And they're utilized that way.
So why wasn't the standard bonus, going back to the IPMB, mentioned in the approval for the past budget?
Oh, right.
For the 05 budget, when we got to December, why wasn't there a line that boosted salaries to accommodate a standing policy of holiday bonuses? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. But here's my answer. My answer is I'm not going to change the budget without going through finance and doing it as part of the six-month adjustment.
No, I'm saying why, when the initial budget from the national office was presented to the NFC, to the National Finance Committee, and then through us to the board, if there was a standing policy of holiday bonuses established at the IPMB level, why then didn't we know that so that in December we boosted the salary allocation for national office staff to include a holiday bonus if it was an anticipated expense based on a prior motion?
When I did the budgets, I wasn't planning to include a holiday bonus.
So what led you to decide there was enough extra money to do so, and do you regret that decision now that we have a little override?
No, I don't, and here's why. The executive director decided you need to reward the staff, not the national office staff. You're talking about the manager, for all the managers.
I understand.
For all the general managers. He felt that was necessary to do, and it was affordable. Why was it affordable? Well, it creates a variance for 1 month, but over the course of the year, with the planning around doing mail drops and other off-air revenue sources, it felt that was going to be more than made up.
Okay. Well, so you feel comfortable about that?
Yeah. In fact, I the national office, our plans I just outlaid will exceed, will raise an extra $500,000 this year above budget.
So why not just make that argument to the NFC? Why not just say, I understand what you're saying. I believe in holiday bonuses. I expect one. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying why not then come to the NFC and say, look, this has been a standing policy. This is what we anticipate. It's not exactly budgeted this way, but we think we'll make it up down the road. I just want to let you know about it. I mean, that's the kind of relationship that we're looking to develop between the administrators and the board. We're not enemies, but if we're not on the same page with our understandings, then it becomes you know, suspicious or a difficulty down the road where none should exist. So one thing I would ask of you as a member of this committee is that, you know, you do that. Talk to me, and I'll talk to you back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, actually, weren't we just talking about information flow to the whole committee?
Yeah. I mean the whole committee, not me. I don't mean me.
I
when I say me, I mean National Fine.
Right.
I do it like LaVon. She's the queen, you know.
Right.
I'll be the prince.
It.
You know what I'm saying? If you talk to us and we talk to you, some of these issues can be resolved, you know what I mean, without the sudden red flags that that emerge when we don't talk to each other.
I think that's a good idea. I think that's absolutely necessary. I'm hoping that that this finance committee is one where we can overcome some of the mistrust and the gotcha games that go on, and we can proceed normally. So I welcome that. And I'm hoping we can get through these meetings without accusations, because anyone can do an accusation. There are very few of us that can actually solve problems. So I welcome working closer and sharing that information. Now, I'm willing to do that and make that pledge right now, because I think it's important. And have a session where everybody on the committee can get all the questions that they may have answered. And then we can move forward with a clean slate and deal with some of the larger issues that that really agitate me, because I get worried about them. Now, what I'd like to do is do that in the context of having an agreement with the finance committee, what our goals are going to be, how we're going to raise money, so that folks can feel comfortable that we are going to raise this year. We're going to raise $200,000 or $300,000 more than budget, and I'd like to share the thinking in that, the planning in that, so that folks can see that that is going to happen.
Okay, can we go to Patty, and then there was myself, and then anybody else? Hello.
I'm still here, but I take the point. Well advised. Folks don't want to get caught by surprises, and they want to feel like they get all the information. I agree.
Okay, Patty.
Hello.
Star six.
Yes.
Okay, am I on now?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, is this in this budget payments out? Is the honorarium of $1,000 to KPFTX, is that a payment in this budget anywhere?
No.
No, that hasn't been paid yet. That was a directive from the PNB to give these guys $1,000 for all that work they've done. That's not in there.
Haven't seen an invoice. Have they invoiced?
There's no invoice. It's from the board. It was a directive to do so. It's not an invoice. It's a gift, an honorarium. The other thing, how many people shared this $16,000? Or can the finance committee get a list of those bonuses they were and sent to that to this committee, please?
Yeah, we'll take care of it. I told you, I'll have it by next Wednesday.
All right, you're going to send the
committee so that folks will know.
And you're going to be sending us the who got bonuses and how much.
Yes.
Okay. I had a question about the positions. So if I recall, the HR director position was supposed to hit the books in January. That was the budget. And so you said you looked at the numbers through the year, and that by the end of the year, that basically this number that we have on the on the PDF file of an annual projected variance in gross salaries of 10% or 76,000 won't actually be there. That it'll still just be that 15,000. But you haven't
on the bottom line,
huh?
On the bottom line.
On the bottom line. I see. So gross salaries has a projected annual variance of 76,000, but by the time you get down to total salaries and related, it's down to 16,000.
Yeah. And the reason
of a positive variance of consultant related expenses of 82,000.
That's right.
Okay. But the question relates to the HR director, which was supposed to hit that budget, was budgeted for, to hit the books in January. And
I remember.
And so we delayed the hitting of the national program director. I don't recall that dealt with a national technical director. But so I take it that I heard that the HR position is open. So that salary, which was budgeted for January, wasn't used in January. I also remember being concerned that the total amount for the year budgeted for personnel searches for these two national positions, which together amounted to more than $120,000, the annual budget for personnel search was $500. So I'm curious how for one thing, the absence of an HR director, and given the numbers that we're getting, that salary essentially got absorbed somewhere else. And so I'd like to know where that is, and are we going to be able, do we have actual money to hire that HR person, and if so, when, or are we going to be delaying the HR person to make up for salary expenses above what we expected?
Well, that's several questions, but the answer to the first question is that when I went back to the National Office budget and looking for our 1 month, remember, we, like other stations, needed that 1 month's reserve. What I did to balance the budget in that regard is to push back the hiring of the HR person to July.
July?
Yes.
6 months.
That's right.
And that salary was slated to be something on the order of 40 some odd with plus benefits?
Oh, it's a little bit more than that. That's
okay. It was 50 some odd plus benefits.
Oh, 65,000.
Oh, okay. So that was pushed back by 6 months.
Yeah, in order to balance that budget. That's one of the things that I did in this budget. Yeah, so it's pushed back into July, and that's the budget that you folks got. We needed all stations, including National Office, needed 1 month's reserve. So that's
well. No, when we approved that, but the budget that we approved last year had an HR position hitting the books in January.
Yeah, but
from a program director, possibly beginning in March, right, Dave?
Well, not beginning in March. What we said was we would.
Oh yeah, we hold it. Okay.
We would revisit in March that issue.
All right.
But right. So okay, go on.
Program director, I have in January.
But there is no program director.
Right, but I have the funds in the budget, assuming January.
Well,
right,
that wasn't
the board
what we approved.
Pushed it.
That wasn't what we did. The board approved the HR director position beginning January, and hitting the books starting in January. And we approved we delayed. We said we're going to revisit the question of the national program director position. After we have national program policy. So that was not any...
Dave, we maintained the position. We put the budget in to pay for it starting in March with the understanding that if it didn't happen, remember, we would roll it into that
correct.
Other fund.
Yep, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the point being that I'm not really understanding what you're telling me with respect to its presence in the presence of that program director position in January, but the moving of the HR person out to June. So
we have a different memory on the HR person. So, but on the programming person, what I do, rather than change the budget instantly, I'll amalgamate all of the budget changes and bring them forth for approval, you know, all together, rather than doing them individually. The same thing will happen with this board approving the race and nationality. You know, rather than going to this budget and adding it, I am going to go through the same review process with you folks next month. Once the implications of it are clear. Sometimes they're clear, sometimes they're not. Where are the funds going to come from? How does that fit with the budget already approved? So I'm generally reluctant to...
Yeah.
No, just to go in and willy-nilly change the budget, wanting to go through the review process and include as many changes as might be out there at the same time.
Well, I guess what I'm still not understanding is that, so right now we're talking about, you have the program director position in the budget for January, but you're not paying it. So what is good, when we see the January financials, for the national office, does that mean that you're $60,000 below projected budget for January because that wasn't paid out? or what is...
It means that that line item will be underpaid or show a positive variance.
Of
just 1 month.
Well, it will show zero for the allocated portion, not the whole year,
yeah.
But it will show a zero for the allocated portion.
For that month.
Right, which
so
presumably would reduce the overdraw.
The variance would be positive
exactly.
In 1 month of salary.
So that was so. Yeah. What I was getting at is now when we go over in this item in the December financials, Lyon said he reworked the projections so that the gross salary projection on the year for the national office is $76,000 negative variance. Does that projection already incorporate the realization that money wasn't going to be paid out in January, and does it incorporate the delay of the HR person till June?
Yeah, it does.
So what that means then is that expenses are substantially higher on a monthly basis, and we should figure out where that's happening relative to what was projected in the budget.
Expenses would be lower, not higher.
No, the projection, the expenses everywhere
budget.
Else, in other slots, in other places, are
right.
Higher because what we're saying is we're not paying out a national program director, and we're not paying an HR person that was budgeted during this period. So that means if we're still coming out with a negative variance on projection by the end of the year of $76,000, that means our other gross salary expenses are higher, and I think we need to know where that is.
Well, Mr. Chair, can we just move on that issue since Lonnie has agreed to, you know, he's going to send us a detail by, what was it, next?
I'll get the next one to the end.
Right. Can that include, in other words, will your memo, Lonnie, answer these questions with regard to, because obviously this is a variance that is of concern to the NFC. Will your memo address this whole issue, the bonuses and the unfunded the unfunded salaries and what this impact will be for the foundation?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll be happy to do it.
Which you've already agreed to do, right?
Yeah, I've already agreed to do it.
So could we, Mr. Chair, you know, wait to get that report,
sure,
adding in your concern and our concerns as they've just been expressed?
Sure, absolutely. I don't need that information now. I just want to clarify that is an issue. And having done that, I'm happy to wait till...
Big red question mark.
Yeah. See, what happened is, and we won't go over it, but that $82,000 you see at the year end in that consultant line item, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is. What happened was when the board requested that consultants related to the board be separated out on a separate budget, the business managers tried to apply any consultant expenses to those particular line item expenses. So what you got here is an underspending on the consultant line item because they shouldn't have been put there.
Okay, well, I'm in agreement with Mark that we can get all that in detail in writing because it does get hard to track at all.
And we also need certification if they didn't go to Puerto Rico and have a big party or something.
I don't have a tan, so it didn't happen.
All right.
So we will we'll look forward to getting that information. Is there anything on anything we haven't discussed left to respond to? Because we will be doing the. I don't know if we will be doing. We have scheduled looking at the December financials in other areas.
This is LaVorne. Just a quick question. When Lonnie was talking about like some of the goals for the year and about looking at capital and fundraising, can you make that an agenda item for this March 11th conversation? Because I think that we this argument is always thrown out about micromanagement. So I think that we actually need the staff or the GMs to speak to that in terms of how we would work that together, because that would always be a board assisting the staff in making those things happen and what we can do.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that, because I do think we need to form teams. I think Mark has suggested it, and I agree with it, around crucial goals financially for the network. And that just has to get done. Otherwise, the staff people, are left alone trying to deal with these large crucial issues, and I think it does require a cooperative effort, and we need the brain power.
Right. Okay. I do have one other minor point on the national office, and actually, right as I said that, it ran out of my head. So, does anybody else have anything else?
Dan, I would.
Listen
to me, man. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. We have a big basketball game against the number one team coming up, and I just wanted to know how much I'm going to have to leave in a bit. And I hate to do that, but I do. And I'm wondering what else do we have on the agenda that we have to deal with before we,
well,
you know.
Have we covered the WBI situation? We have the WBI situation and the December financials. I remember my issue for the CFO.
Okay.
Quick question. So KPFK went over its expected stuff in the fall, its expected fundraising in the fall. Appears like we're going to go over again now. We said in a prior meeting that we would look at, developing policy for the point at which we decide we've got a surplus and release it through a budgetary process for expenditure. The LSB passed a motion that said that any surplus that we developed during the year would be spent on the news department and on training. I'm wondering what is the appropriate process and when will we look at our numbers to say, okay, KPFK is far enough over that we can identify this as a surplus and release it for spending through a budget-approved process. What are your thoughts on that?
Wouldn't that be a local issue?
No, it's a national policy issue of when you identify that you have a surplus. When you say, okay, now we have, because we agree that one drive can be over, but the next drive can be low. But
yeah,
what we had
was
a discussion that said, at some point during the year, you say we're either down and we have to revise our budget or we're up. And I want to know, do we have a formal process for how that happens?
Well, we don't have a policy. That's
yet.
The problem.
Okay. Then that answers my question. We need to deal with that.
Okay.
But not now, because that's not on the agenda. All right. So if there's nothing else, then we...
I move we adjourn?
Well, wait a second.
Oh, sorry.
We'll still have to schedule the next meeting, but we haven't gone over the December financials in any area except the national office. Have people looked at it? Are there any questions? First of all, we have the WBI budget update and we have the December financials. Those are the two items left on the agenda that we agreed to. Is there anybody who has anything on either of those points?
Did we not go over part of the December financials at our last meeting?
We went over them cursorily, but we agreed we would wait until we had, A, the revised numbers, and, B, more time to look at them. What I'm asking is, does anybody have questions on either WBI update or the December financials?
Hi, this is LaVarne. I have a question. On the KPFA, on the, we had talked about the Memphis information. At one time, we wanted to see by fund drive how the funding is coming in. So I just have a concern, about the revenue number for KPFA for December. It just seems low compared to what perhaps would normally happen after an October fund drive. So maybe the Memphis report, I think at one time you did, that was, is that an issue item for the staff or?
I'm not going to know Memphis data.
Huh?
Yeah, LaVarne, can I ask you, did that come up at the local? Did you discuss that with the GM yet?
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to meet yet, no. But it's just that I had seen the number earlier and it was just a concern that number just seems a little low for the revenue for KPFA for the month of December.
Based on
an October fund drive and the other stuff dribbling.
What was the total? I think the drive total in the fall was like $970,000, right?
Plus internet. It was about 50 or something. So it was over $1 million with internet. Yes.
Oh, 6, 7, 8. You're close to $1 million if you look at that line item on listener support in KPFA.
Yeah, 952. But that's also Okay, fine. For year to date, yeah, that's
close.
Yeah, but also that's like yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I think I'd put a motion to, to adjourn. If maybe you could just I think we're kind of spent.
We do need to schedule the next meeting.
Okay.
Before we adjourn.
Prior to March 11th.
That's a question. Is there a proposal for one? Because we are expecting to get some information from Lonnie before then. Lonnie, when are we going to be able to get the January financials?
All financials usually the 25th or so after the following month. So I guess that would be my answer here, too.
Does anybody feel that we should meet before? Because remember, that 11th meeting is going to be primarily occupied with discussing these resolutions with the admin council, so I don't think it's reasonable to expect that we're going to do that and deal with a review of financials.
And we have the election results, which will probably be the week after 228? Maybe like 3-7?
Hang on a second. 228 is the Monday. So we can have it by the Thursday, I imagine. But, yeah, certainly by the following week we will have. So that's the certainly by March 7th we'll have it.
Okay. So is that a Friday?
Actually, we'll have it before March 4th. I think we should meet March 4th.
Second.
And now, as to time, Mark, what's your availability? Is Jane still on the call?
Pardon?
Jane, are you still on the call? No, she said it was hard for her to meet at this
time. Yeah, it's really difficult. I know that means that, you know, Friday night is shot, but, you know, I'm old, so I'd prefer if we could do it, would be, 5 here, so it would be,
2 o'clock here?
Yeah.
Is that working?
Is there
a
problem with
anyone
for
that?
Yeah, I could even do 4:30, but 5 is ideal. I'm flexible, though.
Okay, I have no problem with that. Does anybody have a problem with moving these things to 2? You, Lonnie? Because you're staff.
Are you talking about the 4th of March, 5 p.m. PST?
Yeah. No,
5 p.m. EST.
Actually, it's EDT.
EDT? What is that? Eastern what?
Daylight time.
Oh, okay.
You're on daylight time now, not...
Oh.
Thanks a lot, man. I've been walking around looking stupid for years. Okay, EDT.
I may be wrong.
I think it's standard time.
No, you're right.
It's standard time right now.
I thought it was Eastern Standard Time.
We're not on daylight...
Oh, right, yeah, you're right. It's standard time.
We're not on daylight savings?
Yeah,
daylight
it's
time
EST.
It's
look
daylight
at
daylight savings time, and when you turn the clock back, it's standard time.
But it's EST. It's Eastern Standard Time. Okay, see? I was right.
Okay.
It's actually a question for the meeting on the 4th and the 11th. I guess we need to talk about time for both of those meetings.
Yep. So shall we do it at 2 o'clock Pacific, whatever time, 5 p.m. Eastern, whatever time?
Yeah. I would, Jane, is that better for you too?
It's great for me, but I just wonder on the 11th if the GMs are going to be able to join at that time.
Well, it would only really affect D.C. and New York, and we pay them enough. They just got a holiday bonus.
They probably didn't get as much as the West Coast people, though.
I don't know. It really helps with me with the 5, because otherwise we're at work and in a hard time.
Can we tentatively schedule it for then, and would you guys be willing to talk to you? Baruti, can you talk to Don and can you guys talk to Ron and see if they can make that?
Well, can we leave that to the GM to deal with the administrative council and just kind of deal with one another?
The CFO, you mean?
Yeah, let the CFO, Lonnie, can... the ED, they can contact the GMs and stuff and say this is the time. We shouldn't have to chase their schedule, but we could agree upon amongst ourselves
we're still talking March 4th, 2 p.m. Pacific time?
Yes.
All right. Now, I know that the GMs are trying to get together March 4th in the a.m., 10 a.m. Pacific time. So
well, we don't want the GMs until the 11th, Lonnie. The 4th would just be us, the NFC.
But the issue is Lonnie's being able to make it.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm thinking that, you know. Well, whatever. Let's go with the 4th, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Is that what's on the table?
Yep.
That's okay with me.
Okay, and Casey, can you make a point of announcing that sort of immediately and making sure that it gets posted everywhere, like today or tomorrow? Are you there, Casey?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, good, because I'd like to real far advance.
Now, what's the agenda? Do we have a tentative agenda?
Well, the agenda, as far as I understand, will be to review the stuff that you... Well, that's going to be up to the chair at that time, but we'll need to, as was mentioned on this call, the Finance Committee was assigned several tasks by the PMB at the last PMB meeting, so we should review those. Those include doing some feasibility work. We may want to have a task force formed to do that.
At the very least, we need to look at the numbers for January.
Exactly.
They will be available by then, Lonnie, right? So we need to make sure we're all on the same page. Ideally, all the treasurers will have convened their local finance committees. Any questions that they have, you know, and we can kind of look at the, you know, look at the fiscal picture with a little clearer eye.
Well,
it would seem to me, you know.
The reason I'm bringing up that date is I want to come with a six-month adjustment at some point, and, you know, whether it be the March 4th meeting, and we don't have one scheduled beyond that because the 11th is taken up with another issue. So I'm,
right.
I'm looking at, is this a good time to do it?
That's the time to do it because ultimately
yeah.
that may be the last meeting of the NFC to deal with general issues before the
PNB.
PNB.
And also, Lonnie, by then we will have received your memo regarding the national office variances with respect to salary, and we'll have had an opportunity to, you know, ask you questions. That obviously will be on the agenda.
Yeah, so, and, you know, and perhaps some feedback on the sixth motion.
Exactly.
Well, that will be doing the following week.
Yeah, no, yeah. We need to. Yeah.
But no, I will have them out before then.
Yeah, but I don't think we should take time at that meeting
yeah.
and then again the next, because we'll have so much on our plate in terms of what we were instructed by the PMB looking at financials and the 6 month budget. Stuff that you're going to be bringing forth.
I just
updates so that you'll have the final numbers in on the drives. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Well, Dave, given that and that you've agreed to serve as chair pro tem, you know, I trust your judgment, you know, how good you are, and you know, you'll handle the motion. So if we can agree to March 4th and March 11th at 5 EST and whatever that means for the rest of the country, I still have a motion to adjourn, which is, you know, I'd like
Wait,
to really
yeah, we
on.
Agreed on the times.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, then Mark's then now I will consider Mark's motion.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
I'm coming.
Somebody seconded
second.
It.
Second.
Any objection? Rudy seconded. Any objection? All right, then we will see you in the funny papers until March. What did we say?
March 4th
at 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Right, and then we have the March 11th with the administrator.
Great.
Okay. Oh, one last thing. Casey, are you going to send out that email right away with the address so we know that we have to get it to you by the 28th?
You'll get it in about 10 minutes.
Great.
Okay. Meeting's adjourned, folks. See you later.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you. See you guys. Bye-bye.